Hello, and welcome to our first little chit chat, what we've decided to call the Yappening. You can listen or watch the full episode of this over on our Patreon, but you can also catch a little conversation about our favorite things happening right here, right now. We've been doing this for a while, and we are not very front-facing on the Patreon side of things, so we decided that we were going to change that, and we were going to do some chit-chatting.
Change starts with us, now, today.
Change starts with us. Incredible. So these are fully unscripted, just hangouts sort of vibes. Maybe the first few will be just, like, get to know Ash and I a little bit more, and then maybe we'll... And Cleo. If you've been here from the Monster Hearts days, you would have seen her going insane in the bad, a different setup then. And she was always crazy. But yeah, so half of this will be public, and then half of this will just be for you, the patrons, to check out and listen to. Little exclusive, but we thought we would do some favorites this time around. And one of the best things about this is that I'm gonna look at Ash, ask them what their favorite movie is, and then just say go, and we'll see how long they can talk about it for.
Oh, don't see if it's a challenge, because I literally when I was thinking about this, I was like, all right, how can I be concise but still get people on my side, like how can I do that? Okay, so hi,
so Ash, what is your favorite movie?
Okay, hi, I'm Ash. My favorite movie is The Tenth Kingdom. I have it here for it's a 3-disc set. I don't know if we have any video content for this.
I can put the trailer of this movie in here. I can just, right here, trailer of the movie.
I have a better idea, actually.
Okay.
So, The Tenth Kingdom is only 7 hours and 27 minutes long. It's my favorite movie in the whole wide world, so much so that for my birthday 1 year, because all previous attempts had failed, my one wish was to get Kenzie to watch this movie with me. And she did. She's a trooper. She watched the whole ding-dang thing. And along with a few of our other friends who, I'm not going to say I tricked into, I will say enticed, because it is an entertaining flick. You start watching it at 8 or 9 p.m. and then by like 3 a.m. it's the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen in your entire life. But I'm pretty much just saying a lot, but not really telling you anything about it. During my birthday party, I made bingo cards for people.
That made it 10 times more fun, I will say. Yes.
It was fun, and it allowed people to sort of, stay engaged, but I couldn't find those bingo cards. I was going to find them and just sort of read off a couple of the things that I had made. But what I did find was a PowerPoint that I had put together wherein I give sort of like a summary of the flick, because there's 3 discs and we only got through the first two that first night because my friends are all weak.
Because it was a Sunday night and people had to work the next morning.
Excuses. And so when we had reconvened to finish off and watch the third disc, I wanted to make sure people remembered what happened. So I can share my screen out now.
I don't know if that's going to work though. Yeah, you can try to share the screen, or if you want me to just upload the file for patrons to
Do both. I'm going to share the screen so you, Kenzie, have to look at this now.
Okay, I have seen this before.
The patrons can follow along at home after. Okay, and I promise I'll go through this fairly quickly. How do I?
I think just slideshow.
That would make sense. All right. So, to pitch The Tenth Kingdom, I have the title card up front. We've got mountains at the top and then beautiful New York City skyline at the bottom. And why is that? Because where are we? Who are the characters? What's going on? There's so much horrible early-aughts CGI in the intro. The Twin Towers are there, and they do get, like, sort of crumbled and taken down and replaced by, like, a castle or something. It's very dated, but very fun. So the movie is about this girl named Virginia and her father named Tony, who got isekai'd from New York City to the Nine Kingdoms, which is like a fantasy world wherein, you know, different mythologies and folk tales and like Grimm's fairy tales are all true, like, you know, Red Riding Hood, Cinderella, all that jazz. But they get isekai'd to this kingdom because they tried to help a lost dog. The dog's name is Prince. Virginia and Tony's lives suck. Prince, the dog, and Wolf, the man, are from the Nine Kingdoms and have been cursed by and hired by an evil queen, respectively. Their lives also suck. We'll get into that. So our heroine is Virginia. She works as a waitress in New York, but wants to be a chef and open her own restaurant someday. She's constantly roped into other people's bullshit. She has more mommy issues than you could throw a rock at. And she just wants to get back home.
Her if you father, see the three separate haircuts that this woman yes. has throughout this one,
her
I will hair. Talk about why I hesitate to say movie when you're done.
It is a movie. It's in the three disc set here. No, but her hair goes through its own, like, her hair has a B plot, honestly, in this. Her father is the worst dad of the whole wide world ever. His name is Tony. He works as a janitor slash general handyman in the apartment building him and Virginia live in. And he's so stupid. Like, so dumb. He's the only person, though, that can understand Prince the dog. So we do have to keep him around. But do not let this man make a decision. It will end badly for everyone, especially him. Up next is Wolf. He sucks. He's a love interest. I love him. Sorry about that. Some bits know about him. He was released from prison by the evil queen to hunt down and bring Prince the dog back. He is a werewolf, which was also why he was locked up in prison in the first place, because of fantasy racism. And he's in love with Virginia, our heroine, in a very toxic early 2000s way. Like, whatever way you're thinking, yeah, it's that, it's bad and it's horrible. He loves food and he calls people creamy. Inexplicably, so many times. Now, Prince, the dog that I've been talking about, he is so annoying, but he gets some like character development, but he stays annoying because he's got to stay true to himself. He is Snow White's grandson, so he's a Nepo baby that's set to inherit the crown. He got turned into a dog by his evil stepmom, aka the evil queen. But unfortunately, he's the only one with a brain cell in the entire party up to this point. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Virginia. She's also not the brightest bulb in the pack. Wolf is just horny, and then Tony the dad is just stupid. Unfortunately, Prince can only talk to Tony the dad, and so sometimes his ideas aren't really listened to because he is a dog. He got turned into gold for a little while, but he's okay now. Now the villains. The best fucking part of this whole movie are the troll siblings. They're always serving so much fucking cunt. They are so stupid. They're my favorite thing, especially Bluebell. This bitch up here, like, posting up like he's on like some sort of record album. The evil queen is this lady over here. She's the literal definition of boots the house down, slay mama. The huntsman is like her right-hand man. He's probably the only genuinely scary person in this flick. He has a magic crossbow that will always pierce the heart of something whenever it's fired. Wolf does count as a villain depending on where in the story you are and if you have any morals around, like, just anything. And then there's also Troll Daddy King. I had to skip past that last slide because there's a lot of spoilers on it, and I don't want people to see spoilers, but this last slide in the whole deck is, again, my favorite character, Bluebell the troll. I love him so much. He owns my entire heart. If anyone says anything bad about him, I will burn their house down. So, yeah. Everyone, go watch 10th Kingdom. And if you've seen it before, let me know. Because I have talked with a few folks, especially the TTRPG space, that know about this. And have watched it and have also enjoyed it. And not just the ones that I have, like, trussed up onto my couch and forced to watch it. Like people independently have seen this as well. But that's my favorite movie.
I hesitate to call this a movie because it is not a movie.
No, it's a movie.
No. Here's the thing. It's not, though. It is a limited series. No. It is not a movie.
It's a movie.
Mm-mm.
It's a movie. My Aunt Rachel introduced it to me as a movie when I was like 9 or 10. And therefore, it is a movie.
Five episodes.
Right here, we have the 3-disc movie.
It's 3 discs, and when you go in there, you can select the episodes you want to see.
Nope, you can select the scenes. It's a scene selection like in a movie.
Oh, TV miniseries.
It's a movie. What's your favorite IMDb?
What is my favorite movie? You want me to stop yelling at you about this movie? I feel have a moment. Because I'm adopting your speech because you love this so much.
It's my favorite. Here's the thing. I love media that is entertaining. I never said I liked media that was good. I would never claim that.
Calling this entertaining outside of the games we played while watching it is a stretch.
It's but so entertaining. I also think it's genuinely so much fun. It's a wild
everyone
ride.
Should hate Wolf because specifically he says creamy.
He's the worst. He does. He calls Virginia creamy in like scene 2. And then he keeps saying it. And no one says anything about it. No one points that out as weird. They're just like, ugh, quirky Wolf. What? Hello? So it has its flaws, but it's still a good movie.
It has its flaws, and that's when we kind of stopped that sentence. It's not a good movie.
It's a great flick. It's entertaining romp through a fantasy world. What could you ask for?
Did you talk about it being a reverse isekai?
Yes. No, it is an isekai. Reverse isekais is when people from fantasy world come into ours.
Oh. Which does happen.
It does, actually. I would say it's like 10% a reverse isekai, 90% like a regular isekai. It just depends on what character you're following and where you are.
Yeah. So movies are hard for me because I'm not a movie guy.
Yeah.
And I did think about this a lot, and guess what I came up with? Not an answer.
Incredible.
I can like break down, like my favorite movie I saw last year was Sinners. But that's kind of like everybody's favorite movie from last year, so I'm not really adding anything new to the conversation.
What about like
I also did love? Go ahead.
Well, also like, what about like your favorite TV show? Because I know you're more of a TV show.
I know, but I feel like we should do
a separate one for those.
A separate favorite about my favorite TV show. Because I don't like go back and rewatch movies a lot.
Yeah,
there was a point in time where I would have said that. Oh, what's that movie about time with Rachel McAdams? About Time? I would have said that About Time was my favorite movie, except I rewatched that last year for the first time in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And no.
Oh, no.
No, thank you. So the movie is about this man who the men in this family have the ability to turn back time until they hit like a life event, and then they can't turn back time after that life event. So, for instance, like he has a kid, he can't go back before he had a kid anymore because it changes a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the issue is that I was like, oh, I remember this being like a fun, cutesy movie. Mm-mm. This man goes back in time so that he perfects his courtship of this woman and takes her making a choice out of the equation completely.
No.
So I've decided that's not good.
Men will literally rewrite time before they go to therapy. I swear.
Otherwise, like if you can ignore that, it's like a cute movie. And they have good chemistry and it's and stuff like that. But
you really like K-pop Demon Hunters too, which is also like in the book of Sinners, I feel like where everyone was like, this is just objectively very good.
Yeah, my like for K-pop Demon Hunters though has like surpassed the movie. In terms of the deep, deep fandom I found myself in at the end of last year that I've actually crawled out of. I don't think I've ever... Yeah, in terms of like, I don't think I've ever been that deep in a fandom in which I have learned things that have existed that I previously was unaware.
This episode was brought to you by World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the powers those worlds have to shape our own. Their posts are wide-ranging, and if you can't find something that interests you, that's gotta be a skill issue. Because even with a quick glance on their front page, I found posts about The Sims, about Project Hail Mary, about Halloween Town of all things, a movie I ritually watch every October. But one of my favorites was a post about Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers, which is a wonderful duology, a little slice of life about a tea monk and a sentient robot. And the World Builders Club article is a wonderful peek into the themes of the books. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume, sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, and that's fair. That's so fair.
But yeah, that became more of like a poly ship that I was into that had surpassed the movie itself. Movie's still great.
I will say, when I first watched the movie, I thought that they were like coded as like a poly queer. Mm-hmm. Thruple, and so when the Saja boys first showed up and they were like, oh my god, they're so hot, I was genuinely so thrown off guard. I was like, but you guys are lesbians, what's happening?
I didn't have that, was that the most when I watched the movie for me. The first time I did not have that. I was like fairly certain that wasn't the case, and then I was like, but I'm going to, like, halfway through the movie I was like, but I'm gonna read it like that. That's it is for me.
I think I just really liked Mira as soon as she like beat that one demon in with the coffee pot.
Well, sure. I think we all love Mira.
Yeah. What are favorite books?
Books. I mean, books are hard too, just because I've read so fucking many. But I also made a pact with myself 2 years ago that I was no longer reading books that weren't queer.
Nice.
And I'm just like, life is too short. I spent my entire childhood doing this because I didn't know any different, and I'm not doing it anymore. If somebody like recommends a book, I'll do it, but I'm not seeking out books that aren't queer. And you might be like, whoa, how do you really read? Yeah, there's a lot of them.
So many. Hey, gang.
I have not had a single problem finding a book, especially like in the fantasy realm, sci-fi realm, have not found an issue. I've also found a lot of just like narrative fiction that is queer and really good. Yerba Buena was one of my favorite ones I read last year. Favorite books. Also hard, it changes just because I read so much. With the podcast we make, maybe we should just talk about fantasy.
Why not?
Because I've got some favorite fantasy series. All of them are sapphic.
This is one of them, I think.
Two of them are explicitly lesbian. Is that the Locked Tomb?
Yeah.
Is that Gideon the Ninth?
Yeah.
Yes, Gideon the Ninth, which somebody recently told me. Well, okay, here's another opinion of Kenzie's. I do not agree with fan fiction being published into books. I think it's a bad precedent to set. I think it's a little bit lazy, to be perfectly honest. I think literature or media inspired by other things is fine. And so there's somebody who told me that Gideon the Ninth was a Homestuck fan fiction.
What?
And I was like, number one, I don't know that. But also, are you sure? And then they were like, well, it was like she talks about like how she used to write Homestuck fanfic. And I was like, okay, so is there a correlation? Or, so I don't know. Anyways, it seems like it seems like if it was, it would have been inspired by, again, I don't know that piece of media to like say anything about it. But anyways, that was just a long tangent to say that it doesn't bother me. I love Gideon the Ninth. I also love The Monster Brew Cormorant, which is written by Seth Dickinson, who is like the only man who I would give the rights to write lesbians, because he somehow does it so incredibly flawlessly that I question his identity. That's great. One that I read, was it last year and I told you about it, was The Vagrant Gods.
Yeah.
I like that series.
Yeah, I started. It's so good.
I wouldn't necessarily call it anti-colonialist, but it is about fighting colonialism, though you do have to question at the end if they don't just recolonize themselves. But super gory. So that one's like, if you're not into that, it's very gory.
Trigger warnings.
And then this is fantasy adjacent. It's the only really explicitly dark academia book I feel like I've ever read, and that is the Atlas series. Which I'm not as obsessed with as when I was reading them, when I thought it was the greatest thing on God's green earth, but I do still love it, and I would like to revisit to see if that feeling sticks around.
Kind of, that's how reading books tends to be, is because like I'll be like reading a book and like hallucinating so vividly and just like in the fucking like pages with it, and then I'll be like, that was incredible, and then like a year later I'll be like, was I high? What happened? I went crazy.
I felt like I was going crazy a little bit. What the fuck was
that? Like, yeah. That's me. I'm reading The Everlasting by Alix E. Harrow right now.
Mm.
Oh my God.
An author that I haven't fully... I have a little bit of... I struggle with their work.
I will just say that it hooked me because of the big, beefy night lady.
Sure.
And then it kept me because it genuinely is like the most tea for tea fucking couple. Like they even like at one point they're like, yeah, and we sort of like changed our clothes like we would change our genders because nothing really fit us anyway. Like they're both like very like gender nonconforming folks, and it's just, and like the mask one, he's so pathetic. He's just a pathetic little academic, and I love that. And then the big buff knight lady, and that's like the most shallow surface level way I could pitch this book, because it's actually so fucking insane and deep with, I can't even begin to describe it, but I can't say anything without being a spoiler. So my autism's going to come out in a second here, because I was just looking at my bookshelf in preparation for this call to be like, I wonder what would my favorite book would be, because I've read so many as well. And like, I realized that my books do tend to fall into like just a couple categories. One of the categories is dragons. If there's a dragon on the cover or in the title or anywhere, I'm probably going to pick it up and at least have it on my shelf. And then I also was looking at my bookshelf and I was like, I'm going to grab the mic. I was like, wow, I really like Pride and Prejudice and Pride and Prejudice retellings 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 and Pride and Prejudice. Like,
do you... like, because I like this movie, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I love Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I think
and
that movie's so fun.
And it's such a good adaptation of, like, the original text, too. Because I was sitting here watching, I was like, wow, they got all the beats. And then added zombies. This is incredible. It was so good. Ugh. Oh, but I will say the majority of the Pride and Prejudice retellings that I have are queer retellings. Because, again, mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat of, like, at this point, I really just want to absorb queer media and mm-hmm. and stories, because everything else has been so hashed out. Like, even if it's the most tropey trope, if you make it gay, there's all of a sudden so many more interesting things you can do with it. I have one more I don't know if it's technically a recommendation or just like a cry for help. So it's it's a poetry collection titled From Blossoms by Lee Young Lee. And From like the title poem From Blossoms is one of my is probably my favorite poem of all time. However, comma, I have not been able to find the book that it comes from. Because, and I've spent years going to like every little bookshop. I've been asking around, like through my many side quests trying to like see if anyone can order this book for me. I found out that there are, I think, 36 copies sitting in a warehouse in England in a company that apparently has shuttered its doors and refuses to open them for anyone, no matter how many emails they send, like asking for please just one copy.
How many emails have you sent, Ash?
I don't know. I also have had multiple bookstores send emails on my behalf. But if anyone can find a copy of that,
or sounds like a cry for help. I'll keep this in the public facing episode so people can help you.
Please. From Blossoms by Lee Young Lee. Also, just read that poem. It's incredible. It's about friendship. It makes me cry.
Okay, this isn't gay, but this was a formative fantasy series in my childhood, and I'm going to talk about it because no one, I don't know anybody else who has read this book series, and they made it into like a 2-season TV show that wasn't good, but I did love it. Mm-hmm. There's like 15 books. The Sword of Truth series. Okay? This series, I'm going to reread this. I haven't read this since I was in high school. This series is, they're all this thick. They're, yeah. I adored these books. And granted, you know, if you're not into
Terry Goodkind?
Yeah.
I have that. I have read
Have you
that.
Not read them?
I have. It's on here somewhere. I have a Sword of Truth. I have that fucking guy.
You have the Wizard's First Rule?
I have. Oh my god. Hold on.
Ash is now currently looking to find.
Oh, where are you? No.
I can't speak to her because she doesn't have her headphones on anymore. But if she doesn't find this, I'm not going to believe that she's ever heard of this. What is that one?
Wait, no.
I think that's a different series. Oh, I forgot she couldn't hear me immediately.
No. I'm just trying to find it to prove the point.
She knew what I was gonna do, yeah. But yeah, I love this. I love this book. Bridget Regan plays Kaylin in the series, and then she also played Poison. I was having a chat about the book.
As you should.
I think what you pulled out was a different series. But
no, that was. I did have Wizard's First Rule.
I also just want to let you know that it was super funny because I had said, if you can't find it, I said, Ash doesn't have her headphones on, so she can't hear me. But if she can't find this, I'm not going to believe her. And then you said, I got to find this to prove a point.
Because I know you, Kenzie Tartaglioni. I know you. I'm going to find it and then send a picture.
Okay.
Although it might be on my bookshelf back home. It might not be on my bookshelf.
Anyways.
Here. It might. Anyway.
Formative for me. People talk about, I'm not a Lord of the Rings fan. This is where I dove into fantasy hardcore was this. If we're talking about high fantasy, it would be this. Well, before we completely lose ourselves to our conversation, we should probably wrap it up here. It's been almost an hour. But thanks for hanging out. If you have listened to this all the way to the end, and honestly, if you haven't, who could blame you?
We're just here to chat okay.
And talk about things
us.
You like. Yeah. But if you read any of these or watched any of the movies or shows we mentioned, leave a comment. Let us know. I will talk about this further if that's not clear. I will talk about all of these things further. I could not stop talking about them, really.
The yappening.
But yeah, we'll figure out. Maybe next time we will do TV, because I could do a whole hour on TV.
I think TV could just be me asking you questions and you just go on a roll. Because I, side note, gang, one of my favorite things is listening to Kenzie talk about TV, or like watching her Instagram stories about whatever series has taken over her brain at that moment. It fills my heart with love and joy and appreciation for this incredible human being. I just love how passionate you get.
Ash told me the other day that I am the opposite of a gatekeeper.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make you watch.
You're not so much a gatekeeper as you're like the like one of those.
I'm holding the
dogs.
Door open, ushering everybody in.
Yeah, you're a fucking like border collie, like nipping at all the sheep's heels and like shoving them into like the pen is what you're doing. That's what you do, mm-hmm. and that's what I appreciate about you.
We hope you had a fun time listening to us talk about our favorite things, and we'll be back in a few months to do it all over again.
We'll see y'all then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you want to actually see Ash's 10th Kingdom PowerPoint, or listen to me talk about Gunpowder Milkshake, or listen to a very passionate breakdown of romance novels and the double standard between gay media and sapphic media, make sure to sign up for our Patreon.